Hi everyone, I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And we are fortunate enough today to have Ragini Michaels, who is here to coach us and teach us how we can actually bring more sympathetic joy and grace into our lives. And we're actually, I always like presenting real life scenarios. So this is what this section is all about.
Okay.
So welcome, Ragini. Welcome
Thank
back.
You. It's so, always good to be here with you. It's always fun.
Yes. All right. Now, you were, the first scenario is one in which you were with me. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you remember, we were at one, the event, it was 9/11, and we were at one of the event, and we were waiting to talk to do a live show at the event. Mm-hmm. And there was a group of people who I described as seriously blissed out. They're all kind of undulating, and they're like, oh, I am so in love with the world and like what I love about. Here's what they were doing. At the end of their session, there were people who were standing in line, and they're facing each other, and they had their hands hand to hand, and they're swaying back and forth in this kind of organic kind of patchouli-like dance. I don't know. They're saying, oh, I so love the world, and I love your energy as a class, and I love you, and I love the universe. I love Mother Earth. I love everything. And I was like, are you kidding me? What is this? What were you guys smoking in here? I mean, I was like, who are these people? Maybe this is my cynical part. And no sympathetic joy was arising at that time.
Yes,
cynicism was showering over me.
There you go.
Okay, so.
That'll stop you from experiencing sympathetic joy for sure.
Okay,
but here's the interesting thing about your scenario that you're describing. Isn't it curious that we are way more comfortable watching a group of people who are engaging in intellectual analysis or tearing something down or creating judgments and assessments and finding solutions to problems and everything else, or berating the world because this group is stupid or that group is stupid? Nobody's cynical about that, but people are very cynical when people start to talk about love. And I can say that because I've been one of those people.
Right.
You know, and still a part of me to this day sometimes will go, oh, that's a little too much.
It was too much to me, though.
But what that says is something about your relationship to your own heart.
Oh, right? Great. Okay, what is I don't know if I want to hear what this means
now,
about
let
my
me,
heart.
This is one side. Okay. The other side of the coin, let me go to there for a moment.
Okay.
Is that if your dedication to being blissed out or being happy is out of balance with the need to make discriminations and to see that life is filled with ups and downs and joys and sorrows and easy times and hardships, then you're simply out of balance if you don't see that. Right. So you have to continually work to balance your mind's capacity to see the world the way it functions in the realm of duality. We're opposites, you know, where we're always struggling with success and failure and competition and cooperation and love and hate and acceptance and rejection and approval and criticism. And it goes on and fat and thin and wealthy and poor. Okay. And you need your mind to do that. And you also need your heart to do that. Right. To navigate that world with love requires balance.
So what I should have done is, as they were like, love, joy, and peace, I'd be like, hatred, war. You need balance, people.
I think we have enough hatred and war in the world. I would say this. Let me go back to my first comment, which is, when you have a cynical response like that to the presence of people expressing love and happiness and joy,
oh, yeah. Okay,
what it says is take a look at your own heart, because it's quite common when you get close to love, if cynicism is in you, it will emerge to keep you away from it. And so it's just a question of honoring your cynicism and going, yeah, I don't feel comfortable around that much gobbledygook, blissed out love stuff. Makes me uncomfortable. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then once you get that clear, then you can go, well, why? Why am I uncomfortable around a full expression of love where people are standing in a circle and holding hands? Now, I'll grant you, it's not my favorite thing to do because I'm a cynic, okay, at heart.
Right.
But the other side of my heart knows that in that scenario, if it's real, if it's authentic, if it's honest, there brings a fresh energy, a new dimension to life that I was completely unaware was available before.
And that's honestly, what I didn't like about it was it didn't feel real authentic and honest. It felt like things that people should say because they're in something with 9/11. Therefore, it was kind of a unbalanced, kind of inauthentic kind of expression. It just didn't, it seemed outside. And maybe it was for, it would have been for me, but maybe not for them.
Well, I think that's a wise perception, what you just said, because what looks like not a clean cut authentic thing for you might be something very real and authentic for someone else, because they might not have this streak of cynicism in them the way you do. You know, everyone's different. You know, that's why it's better to step back and feel, I'm happy that they're happy. I'm happy that they're happy. That's cool that they're able to stand there in that group and be that comfortable expressing their bliss and joy about the world. That would be a nicer place to be in the presence of something that you would not, it couldn't pay you enough money to go join that group.
Yes.
Okay. And that's all right. But instead of being detrimental about it or judgmental about it or pushing it away, and this is sort of the other side of envy and jealousy where you want it, this is where you don't want it, you can step into sympathy. Joy as well, and say, well, look at the joy, look at the fun they're having. I'm happy that they're happy. That way you get your happiness no matter what's happening around you. If you know a sympathetic joy and you've got the, you know, being a behavioral change person, I will say, if you have new neural pathways laid down in your brain, which is what practice and meditation and working with the unconscious mind allows you to do. So that takes sympathetic joy from being just an idea and a concept into a personal reality that your brain then goes, oh, envy, sympathetic joy. Well, sympathetic joy brings me more. I'm going to go there.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I think the next time I experience, because I also have the time when people will say to me, they'll end a phone call and like, oh, peace, love, and joy to you. I'm like, what? You know, goodbye. Like, what? What does it mean? Peace, love, joy. I mean, well, it's just something that's kind of.
Let me tell you this, in my new website that I just put up and in the work that I'm doing right now, I struggled with how to end it. You know, how do I say whatever I want to say to the people? You know how in letters you used to say sincerely now you say best regards or warm, or some people say cheers, right? So
I just say goodbye.
Okay. No. Well, I'm not, of course, presenting an image and I'm trying to be real. The thing that I've decided to say was much love.
Yeah, no, I can see
that. And when I say it, it has to come from the right place in me for me to feel authentic with it.
Right.
Right? If I just say it as an automatic salutation, it doesn't convey what I really want to say to people, because I'm doing it for me.
Right.
Because when I say it from that place, it opens my heart. And that is more what I want to share with people, you know, than the words much love. But those words are the ones that bring it out in me now.
Right.
Before, I would never have said that. Even last year, you wouldn't have caught me saying much love in public to people.
That's true.
Yes.
That's very true.
So evolution continues to happen in how you integrate these things that you learn about spiritually into your daily life, so they become authentically your own expression of the wisdom that is there for us in life, and the love and the guidance that we all have if available to us if we choose to go find it.
Interesting. So here's what I'm hearing you say. The first thing I want to do is for my own benefit, start building these new neural pathways. So when I see these people who are expressing sympathetic joy in ways that aren't necessarily authentic to me, they may be authentic to them.
Yes.
And for me to look and say, you know what, that's not my cup of tea. I'm not going to express it that way, but I can feel happy.
How beautiful that,
happy.
Someone is doing that.
You know,
that's a beautiful expression.
Okay. So I'm not going to go, oh, gag me. This is a different response.
Think of it this way. You may have a preference for roses over daisies, but every time you walk past a daisy, do you have to say, oh, that gags me, or I hate daisies? You could learn to just appreciate that a daisy has beauty, but it's not your flower.
Oh, when you put it like that, it just makes me feel bad. Even having these thoughts.
No. You've got to have the thoughts. That's our conditioning. That's the human experience. You don't want to feel bad about having the thoughts. They're okay to have.
Just kidding.
All you want to do is be conscious of them so that you can then take the next step, which is generating the other thought.
Right.
Which helps you be happy. And if you're happier, everybody's going
to
be happier.
So it's almost like if I were to merge what you said in the second segment with this particular segment, it's like figuring out what arises to you, what arises for you, whether it's a thought, a negative thought, a feeling, an emotion, mm-hmm. whatever, those negative feelings, figuring out what they are, just even naming them and letting them be, and then choosing joy, mm-hmm. right, is what I'm hearing you say. Just choose joy and say, okay, there's joy happening, and there's something actually really wonderful for me to participate in if mm-hmm. I choose to have joy. Choose joy, start feeling the joy that is around me, even though it's not expressed in my authentic way, just feeling it anyways. And that will open my heart, move me away from fear, and experience joy.
Which is really about loving yourself. And that's the same as loving other people.
Yeah.
Can I just make one? Do we have time for me to make one more comment here before we go off or not?
Yes. Well, we have one more segment.
Okay. I think it's important for people to understand that sometimes you can't choose joy because the charge on your negative thoughts and feelings are so intense. Mm. So don't feel bad if you can't choose it, because that's okay. Just go find yourself somebody who knows energy psychology or some kind of therapist. Work to get the emotional charge down from like a 10 plus, you know, which is the highest, let's say, down to like a 2 or 3 or 4. And then you'll find it easier to switch over to the joy or the happiness, the sympathetic joy. So it's not, you don't really have a choice until you have a choice. And when you have a choice, you know, it's usually because you've gotten the charge on your negative emotions down to where the negative emotions and thoughts are handleable.
Right.
That is, you can take a step back.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of a thing about that, because people use choice as if, you know, just because you heard the idea, you should now be able to choose sympathetic joy. It isn't quite that easy in real life.
You know what? The closest thing that I could experience to that is I had been watching the Duke University basketball game. This is after I graduated. I was watching them all through the, you know, finals, semifinals, finals, and then they were in the final and they lost. And I really was mad. I mean, I totally can understand when these crazy hockey people or soccer people turn cars over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's mad.
You know what I mean? But that is actually, that's what you're talking about when you're at a point where you're like, you see red, like your team has lost. You've gone berserk and you can't calm yourself down.
If you have no awareness of yourself, which is definitely in the realm of fear,
right?
You have no awareness of yourself, then you can go do things that will harm others as well as yourself.
Burn things, tear them down. I mean, that's what you see a lot with sports fans that end up losing.
This is one of the reasons why consciousness and awareness is so essential in the world. You want to become conscious of what's going on inside of yourself. Deal with it in the sense that you become aware of what it is, get enough distance from it by dealing with the emotional side of it, that you can step back and then you have a choice.
Right. And if you don't know any of these energy techniques, just take 3 deep breaths, right? That's what you
absolutely
always say. That helps.
3 deep breaths and look up energy psychology on the web. You'll find a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, EFT is great. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, again, a big thanks to you, Ragini Michaels, our internationally recognized speaker in behavioral change and a author of the new book, Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful No Matter What, now available on Amazon. Now, if you want to create a happy you and a happy planet, then friend us. Didn't I say this early in the segment? I need friends. Seriously, people. No one loves me. Go over to Fire It Up with CJ page on Facebook and get all sorts of great information. Friend us. We will be right back.